Good morning. This morning, we've got a very important announcement. The announcement I've got to give is so important that I have specially created a megaphone for the job. Okay, I'm going to give you an announcement through this megaphone. Listen carefully. It's very important. You ready? Hear ye, hear ye. Holiday Bible Club booking is open. What an important announcement. That's an especially important announcement if your parents haven't booked you in yet. They can do that online on the church website, or they can do it with forms at the back. It'll be a great 3 days at the start of the summer holidays when we'll learn more about Jesus from the Bible and have lots of games, including some bouncy castles and some water games. Don't worry about the water at the front. I know it's very interesting, but we will get to it in just a bit. In our Bible passage that we just had read, there is an even more important announcement than Holiday Bible Club booking being open. Can you imagine that? It is the most important announcement that has ever been anywhere in the world. Today is the 7th of May. On the 8th of May, 1945, a long time ago, it was announced the Second World War in Europe is over. Peace was announced. An important announcement. People were very excited, very pleased, very relieved. But it's not as important an announcement as the one that we've got in the Bible. Some of you have brothers or sisters, don't you? Some of you have younger brothers or sisters. You might be able to remember, or you might be able to imagine, the day when you found out you were going to have a baby brother or sister. What an important announcement. What a difference that would make. Someone to play with, someone you have to share with. A big announcement, but not as important as the announcement in the Bible. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, that we had read, Jesus told his followers, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus' followers were going to take a really important announcement to the ends of the earth. That means everywhere, all over the earth. That's where this really important announcement had to go, everywhere. What was this really important announcement? Well, it's the good news that Jesus died on the cross and came back to life. Why is it good news that Christians believe Jesus died on the cross and came back to life? It's good news because Jesus can offer us life in his kingdom forever, life even after death. We know he's telling the truth. We know he has power over death because he beat death and came back to life. Don't you agree? That's the most important announcement in the world ever. Jesus has beaten death. Anyone can come into his kingdom and have life with him forever. But that announcement, even though it was a very important announcement, the most important announcement ever, it started in a not very important city, a long time ago, a long way away. How would this announcement get all over the world? How would God get his announcement all around the world? Well, God could have written the message in some clouds and put the clouds in the sky to fly all over the world. That could have worked. Or God could have got some angels to fly around the world telling people. He could have done that. But God didn't do that. Jesus told his followers to tell the announcement to the people they knew and to all the people they met, and then to go and take the announcement to new places and tell the people there. And the people they told, they went and told this great announcement to the people they knew too. And they went to new places and they told the people there too. And so slowly, person by person, and conversation by conversation, this most important announcement spread all over the world. It even got to a small village in England called Fordham. That's how this great announcement got all over the world. I suppose, what is this great announcement spreading over the world like? I suppose it's a bit like dropping a pebble in some water, isn't it? Here's a bucket of water here. Now, I've got a pebble or a little stone from outside. Could someone come and drop this in the middle? Great, come on up. Just drop it right in the middle so everyone can see. That's it. And can you see the... Sit back down again. Can you see the ripples? You can sort of see the ripples going out a bit. Should we do it again so you can watch? Can you do one for me? Okay, everyone watch. And just watch how the ripples go out when we drop the pebble. That's it. Good dropping. Excellent. Okay, And the ripples go out, don't they? Bit by bit, they spread out, and that's a little bit like this important announcement about Jesus going out, conversation by conversation, going out over the whole world. But you know, it's not actually a very good picture. I didn't give you a very good illustration, sorry. Because the announcement about Jesus, it isn't really like some ripples. Something might get in the way of some ripples. Ripples are very small, weren't they? If you weren't watching closely, you might have missed them. Ripples are very small things. A leaf or a stone could stop them. The great announcement about Jesus is more like a tidal wave, an enormous tsunami that can't be stopped by anything, even mountains. I've been told that I'm not allowed to make a tidal wave in church this morning, which is a shame. But we can drop something more appropriate into this water, can't we? Something that will make a bigger splash. Would anyone like to come and drop this brick in? Excellent. Yes, come on up. Come on up, Mr. Knights. Come round. Excellent. Try and get it in, not on your feet or anyone else's. Brilliant. Go for it. Excellent. Well done. Have a seat. That's a bit more like it. Sorry if you got wet. That's a bit more like it, isn't it? The announcement about Jesus, it goes around the whole world as people tell other people. But it's not like little ripples. It's like a big tidal wave, a big splash that can't be stopped. Well, two things that we learned from our Bible passage today. Firstly, the announcement about Jesus is the most important announcement in the world ever. It's the good news that Jesus died for us, defeated death, and came back to life, so he can offer life forever in his kingdom to anyone. It is the biggest news ever. And the second thing we learned, the great announcement about Jesus is unstoppable. It has gone almost everywhere in the world. God will make sure it keeps going everywhere in the world. Everyone needs to hear this most important announcement. Great, thanks for listening. We're going to pray, and then John will tell you what to do next. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that the good news about Jesus has gone all over the world, has even come to us here in Fordham. Please help us to believe the good news about Jesus' death and resurrection, so we can have life forever in his kingdom. Please help us to be part of this great announcement as we tell other people the good news about Jesus. Amen.
Great, thank you, Duncan. We're going to sing again, and it's a song which picks up that theme that we're part of this tidal wave, this purpose of God, this joyful good news that we want to pass on to others. So we're going to stand and sing, I Lift My Hands.
Great, well, I wonder this morning whether you have ever got the feeling or ever get the feeling from watching the news that maybe all that's left of Christianity in this country is just the organisations. I'm sure the Church of England is still clearly still here, and there are a few other denominations still around. There are still some bishops in the House of Lords, aren't there? But no one under the age of 50 is a Christian anymore, are they? Certainly those who do still regularly go to church, they do it because it's social, or because they were brought up doing it. Sadly, you sometimes get that impression even from some of the denominational leaders, and that if we're not in that situation quite yet, that's the inevitable future we're heading towards. But if you're a Bible-believing Christian, or if you've been around Christians for a little while, you'll know that the reality is quite different. I can think of at least 100 Bible teachers and church leaders that are completing Bible teaching training this year, many of them in their 20s and 30s. And Bible teaching churches are typically growing, not shrinking. And if we know the book of Acts, actually all of that will come as no surprise to us. Let's look at the passage that we had read to see why we shouldn't be surprised to see gospel proclaiming churches growing, not shrinking. It's on page 1092, if you've closed your Bible and you need it. It'll be helpful to have that open. I'm sorry I didn't get points out in time for the notice sheet, but we do have just 2 points, and I think they're going to come up behind me. So there we go. You can see them. I'm starting in this passage with the premise that Luke is writing about Jesus and his kingdom. That's Luke's big subject. That's my premise because of verse 1. If you look at verse 1 there, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. What we call the Gospel of Luke was part 1, written by Luke. Acts is part 2, also written by Luke. And notice the word began there in verse 1. The subject of part 2 is going to be the ongoing work of Jesus. The central hero of this book and of our passage today is Jesus. Luke says that as he records what happened in the early church, which is what Acts talks about, he's actually recording the ongoing acts of Jesus as he rules from heaven. So Luke and Acts are two-part work. Part one, the kingdom established by Jesus. Part two, the kingdom extended as Jesus rules from heaven. So point one, let's look with Luke in these verses. Luke looks back at Jesus' kingdom established. Verse 3 there, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Here's Luke looking back to part 1, to kingdom established. How did Jesus establish his kingdom? Well, Jesus suffered on the cross in accordance with God's promise to carry God's judgment at our sin. Jesus defeated death in accordance with God's promise that his anointed ruler would reign forever. And Jesus rose again, and through his death-defeating resurrection, he established his kingly rule. This is the kingdom of God, sin paid for, death conquered, evil destroyed, eternity opened up to those who follow Jesus. And see in verse 3, Luke describes how Jesus gave many convincing proofs. Luke realizes that this news is out of this world. It seems too good to be true. But Luke reminds us that over a period of 40 days, Jesus was physically with his followers, speaking with them. So that what at first presumably seemed to them a bit like a paranormal experience became over that period perfectly normal. People object to this on the basis of science, don't they? Science was always my favorite subject at school. I studied science at Cambridge, including the epistemology of science, which means what science can and can't tell us. And then I taught science for 3 years. Can I tell you very clearly that it is horribly unscientific to claim that science rules out the resurrection? Science seeks to describe and explain the normal. It is simply not for science to tell us whether something abnormal did or did not happen in history. That's for history to tell us. That's for the historical evidence to be examined and decided on. If history has given us overwhelming evidence that something abnormal has happened, then science needs to, good science, will adjust its worldview to account for it. In verse 3, Luke reminds us of Jesus' defeat of death that established his kingdom, his resurrection that did open up eternity for his people. And then in verses 4 to 5, we see one of the wonderful benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus offers the full reality of that cleansing from sin that we all need, the inside washing. By his death on the cross, he washes us, makes it possible for God the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. That's what's going on in verses 4 and 5. Which means if you have trusted in the death and resurrection of Jesus, you have God with you and in you right now by his Holy Spirit. He'll be in you and with you this week as you go about your life. He'll be in you and with you for all eternity. We're looking at how Luke shows us that Jesus' kingdom has been established. Luke points back to Jesus' death and resurrection, verse 3. Luke shows us that because of Jesus, his people will now receive the Holy Spirit, verse 4 and 5. And finally, under this point, Luke shows us that Jesus is enthroned in heaven now, ready to return. We see that in verses 9 to 11. Jesus isn't taken up and hidden by a cloud because heaven's in the sky. You can go up there, you won't find it. Rather, the Father is demonstrating here that Jesus is the ruler he's appointed over the whole world. Okay, we know that's the intention. We could go back and look at a prophecy in Daniel that's being fulfilled here. But you and I think it just makes common sense, doesn't it? It's a good picture of being of ascending and being enthroned, being raised up. It's a good picture of the fact that Jesus is being raised up as ruler. These verses then set the context for the church's worldwide witness, for verse 8 that we looked at earlier. And why should the church take this announcement about Jesus over the whole world? What right do they have to do that, you might ask?
Well, it's because Jesus has been appointed ruler over the earth by his Father. And because Jesus will return, we see in verse 10 and 11 there, Jesus will return to judge the whole earth in the same way he left. That's point one. Jesus' kingdom established. And point two then, more briefly, his kingdom extended. In verses 6 to 8, we have this short conversation between Jesus and his disciples. And in it, we see the next stage for the kingdom. From this point onwards, its kingdom extended. People do sometimes get in a bit of a muddle with these verses, and we won't have time to unpick them properly in a 10-minute talk. But here are the headlines, and ask me later if you're interested. In verse 6, the disciples ask an excellent question about kingdom timing. Jesus, are you going to do the whole thing now? Are we going to see the whole, full reality of your kingdom right now? And in verse 7 and 8, Jesus answers them. Verse 7, some later. Some will come later. Verse 8, some will come now. The agenda for later is the full restoration of the kingdom, the establishing of a physical kingdom on a physical earth. That will be at Jesus' return, at a time known only to the Father, Jesus says. Israel's mentioned in verse 6. This kingdom won't be geographically in Israel, in the Middle East. It will fulfill all that was promised to Old Testament Israel, and more. It will be a new creation, free from the consequences of sin. That's the later agenda for Jesus' kingdom. But the now agenda is in verse 8. It's the announcement of this kingdom going out from Jerusalem to the whole nation, to the adjacent nation, and all over the earth. That's the now agenda. Verse 8 gives us the agenda for the book of Acts and beyond for the church age. The agenda for kingdom extension. See in verse 8 there, the hero is Jesus. You will be my witnesses. It'll be Jesus they're talking about. The actors are the apostles and the early church. It is you will be my witnesses. They are going to be involved. And the absolutely essential empowerer there is the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when this Holy Spirit comes on you. Well, there we go. What's this got to say to us? I guess it should come as no surprise to us today that we have yet to see God's funeral in this country or in the world. Because Jesus has been enthroned as God's king. He has set his agenda for this age of the world, the extension of his kingdom through the proclamation of his kingly rule. The media can downplay the spread of the gospel. People inside and outside the church can flat out oppose the spread of the gospel if they like. But if Jesus is king, if Jesus has given his Holy Spirit to work through the proclamation of his word, we should have no doubt that the gospel will go on being proclaimed to the ends of the earth until Jesus returns. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, surely this is what all religious groups say, isn't it? Frankly, all societies, if they know what they're doing, they've got a core message and they try and spread it to increase their influence and power. Maybe you've even heard sermons on verse 8 that have sounded quite a lot like that. It wouldn't surprise me. Come on, guys, people might say, it's our job to spread this message about Jesus as far and as fast as we can because we want to extend his kingdom. But to do that while missing the authority of Jesus makes no sense of the passage, but it also makes no sense of history. As we've seen in the passage, Jesus is the hero of Acts. He's the one working, albeit from heaven through his Holy Spirit. He's the one who's working. Luke doesn't record verse 8 as a request from Jesus to these early disciples and to us. Oh, please would you take my kingdom message around the world? That would be great. No, Jesus isn't asking them, he's telling them. Jesus is the king. His kingdom will extend to the ends of the earth through the proclamation of the gospel. It will happen. He'll make sure it happens. It'll happen through them, but it will happen. And incidentally, reading verse 8 and the spread of Christianity in history as just the typical spread of a religion or ideology, it makes no sense of history either. Because these are early disciples, a small group of them in Jerusalem, not an important city. They had no financial backing, no military backing, no political backing. They certainly had nothing to rival the opponents that stood against them. And yet the fact that Christianity has spread from that early group of disciples who spoke with Jesus there, out across the whole world, even to us in Fordham, it's a very hard fact to explain if we don't view it in light of the kingship of Jesus. And if Jesus has ensured what he promised in verse 8, if he's made sure that has happened to date thus far in history, we can be sure he will continue to keep his promise going forward. It can feel sometimes, can't it, like we're proclaiming the words of Jesus to a deaf world and no one's listening. It can feel like we're on the losing side. It can feel like we're going backwards, not forwards. Well, there's no promise here that it'll be plain sailing. But the big picture couldn't be more certain. God has established his king, and in this age of the world, his gospel message will go out and be heard and believed by many. Jesus has said it, the Holy Spirit is actioning it, and it's for you and me to get on board with it. Let's pray. You will receive power. You will be my witnesses. We praise you, Father, that this objective truth, the reality of the rule of Jesus, is being proclaimed all over the world, and no one has been able to stop it. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful benefit of having Jesus live within our hearts, the fresh start, the new beginning of the Holy Spirit, living with Jesus as our King. And we pray that you would prevent us from gazing into space and enable us to take our part in what you're doing in your world. For your name's sake, amen.
Thank you very much, Duncan. Well, it's now time for the children to come back to their seats. Whilst they do that, if you'd like to pick up your notice sheets, just to, as we usually do,